Blog Talk Radio.
His presence with me doth continually dwell.
indeed, indeed, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. We are starting a new series that is designed to give parents of lost children great hope that their children will be saved. The title of this series is Bring Him to Me, Jesus Requesting the Most Difficult Cases. Do you have a daughter that is a difficult case? Do you have a son that is a difficult case? Have you been witnessing to your children for decades? And the more you talk to them, the more heart is hardened. Be of good cheer. Jesus says, bring him to me. Jesus says, bring her to me. Why does Jesus say that? Because the Lord specializes in the most difficult cases. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. This is a wonderful chapter. It starts with Jesus being transfigured up in a high mountain. And our scripture, our key scripture text is Mark 9:19. So let's read it all the way through to verse 29. We're going to read 29 verses starting at verse 1. And we're going to make our way all the way down to verse 29. And then I'll begin with a word of prayer. Mark 9, verses 1 through 29.
Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus.
Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud.
This is my beloved son. Hear him.
Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen, till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant.
Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?
Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him.
And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes,
What are you discussing with them?
Then one of the crowd answered,
Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.
O faithless generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?
Bring him to me.
Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth.
How long has this been happening to him?
From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.
Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears,
Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit.
Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.
Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said,
He is dead.
But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately,
Why could we not cast it out?
This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting.
Then they depart.
Amen. So let's look at verse 19. And he answered him and said, Jesus speaking, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring the child to me. Let us pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your Son Jesus, for it is by his blood and his blood alone that we are redeemed. We thank you, Lord, because you are our only hope, and it is to you that we bring our most difficult cases. Yes, Lord, whatever child we may have who is hardened in heart, who wants nothing to do with you, who is being led astray by the wicked one, him or she shall we bring unto you. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's a few things I want to share with you today, and of course, first of all, we know based on Psalm 127, the scripture that we were studying last week, that unless the Lord build the house, they that build it labor in vain. And we know that the building of the house there is not building a house of brick and mortar, but it is the building of a family. Psalm 127 goes on to continue to say how children are a heritage from the Lord. You're a blessing from God. That the man who has many children is like a man who has a quiver full of arrows. So let us first establish that every child that God gives a man and a woman are precious gifts from God. Let us make that point. Every child that is born to you, son or daughter, each one is a precious gift from God. Having said that, also know that each one of these precious gifts from God come with much anxiety. As parents, we worry about their temporal needs. How shall we care for them? How shall we provide for them? With every precious gift from God, every one of these precious children, comes anxiety. It's only natural. This is why the Bible tells us in Psalm 127, why are you up late at night? Why is it that you can't go to sleep? Why are you eating the bread of sorrows? Remember, precious saints, although these children come with much anxiety, they belong to the Lord. And if he gave them to us, with them he shall also provide what they need. So we worry about their temporal needs for the rest of their life, how they shall be cared for, how shall they be provided for, a roof over their head, clothing on their back, food in their belly, health care. These are common worries, common anxieties. But we as people of faith and people of God acknowledge that if God gave them to us, he will also give us what they need. The second anxiety that comes with the birth of a child is their eternal destiny. We know that every child that is born will live forever. We know that the body dies, but the soul goes on to live. So, will this child serve the Lord? Will this child be a follower of God and of his Christ? Will this child be born again and have their home in heaven? Or will this child completely turn his back on God, blaspheme God, remain an enemy of God to the day he dies or to the day that she dies, thus ensuring that their eternal destiny will not be in heaven but in the lake of fire? This is a cause of great anxiety. This is a cause for every true loving parent to worry. Where will my child eventually end? We acknowledge that every child is a precious gift from God, but they come with anxieties, temporal anxieties, and an eternal anxiety. We know from reading the Bible that some children bring great joy to their parents. We know that some children bring great sorrow to their parents. We know that some bring great bitterness of soul to their parents. Let me repeat that. In reading the Bible, in reading the accounts of the heroes of the faith, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and those of David and those stories of Samuel and Saul and others, that some children bring great joy to their parents. Others bring great sorrow, great anguish. Others produce great bitterness. Sometimes we find in the Bible that parents curse the day that that child was born because of the great bitterness. So again, this is cause for great anxiety. We read scripture. The Word of God is a book of truth. It doesn't hide the fact that some children will produce bitterness of soul to their parents, that some children will produce great sorrow to their parents, that others will produce great joy. We just don't know. We pray. We train up the child. We labor to do right by them. But in each case, it is a personal decision that each child makes whether to follow God or whether to follow their sinful ways. We also read in Scripture that many were filled with the Spirit of God, that many did great things for God and his kingdom, while others were led astray by deception. Others were possessed with evil spirits. Such is the case in this story in Mark 9. Such is the case. This young boy here, whose father is at his wit's end, has brought his child to Jesus, not finding Jesus among his disciples. This man turned to his disciples and begged the disciples of Christ to remove the spirit that had possessed his son. Sadly, they were unable to. They were not able to relieve this family of this great pain. And so the man eventually waits, and Jesus does arrive. And when Jesus comes, he sees the multitude. He sees they're gathered around. This young child that is demon-possessed has caused the great crowd to come. Jesus inquires of the father, and the father says, "My son has been possessed. I need your aid. I brought him to your disciples, but they were not able to alleviate the child. Can you help us?" Jesus says, "Bring him to me." Now, in this chapter, we learn this. In all cases, in every case, the Word of God gives us the one and only prescription for the cure of all of our children's ills. Now, you may want to write this down. Here it is. Jesus says, "Bring him, bring her to me." Now, you may say, "My son is 60-somewhat years old or 50-somewhat years old. He doesn't live at home anymore. My daughter doesn't live at home anymore. But they are of great concern to me. Their lifestyle is of great concern to me. Their eternal destiny is of great concern to me. I see them following the course of this world. I see them following the wicked one. They may not be possessed, but they are utterly deceived." What is the antidote? What the scriptures say? In all cases, the Word of God gives only one prescription for the cure of all of our children's ills. That is, bring him to Jesus. Bring her to Jesus. So tune in tomorrow as we begin to develop this study, because we are entering into a season of desperation. Many of us are desperate about our children. Many of us know that our time is running out, our time to influence them. We know that also their hearts are getting far more hardened. They're increasingly departing further and further away from the Lord. We are at our wit's end. We've been praying for them for decades. We've been hoping that some way, somehow, the church could aid us in the saving of our children, and to this point, to no avail. We are frustrated. We're losing hope. We're losing stamina. We're about to give up. And now we come to this text where Jesus says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him, bring her to me." let us do so. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, tonight is our prayer meeting in just a few hours. We're going to be praying for your him, and we're going to be praying for your her. Jesus says, bring them to him. And we shall do so tonight by means of prayer. Love you much. God bless you.
Jesus saves, Jesus.